I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Left Doors Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcari.
And this is the podcast where we don't walk our guest three straight times and give him no at-bats. Del Reed, 26 shirts, hanging out with us now. And yes, that was a dig at the Lehigh Valley. Why? Come on, man. I want to see dingers from Vlad Guerrero. Do not rip this away from me by walking him every plate appearance. Come on. All right. Mini rant over. Del Reed, 26 shirts, hanging out with us here. We're going to talk some Bills. We're going to talk some shirts. But I do want to talk about Vlad Guerrero real quick, because I thought, you know, the debut, I was hoping to see him rip some dingers. Maybe we get onto Deadspin with some guy going, wow! But nothing of the sort, unfortunately. He did make a pretty nice defensive play, though. So he did end up in the highlight reel. They lost to Lehigh Valley. And Listen here, you Yankee minor leaguers. Give me some pitches down the plate for 27. Otherwise, well, what happened to you yesterday? Jensen made you pay. So give me some dingers. I want Vlad Guerrero to rip dingers.
He will. He'll get the opportunities too. It's not like that was his only game in Buffalo.
That's true, but I mean, like, Dell would know this more than anyone else with this city and how excited we always get about literally anything.
Right.
If Guerrero rips one on his first official at bat, I'm seeing a new shirt, bro.
You're definitely seeing it on the front page, right?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we've actually thought about that already, doing a whole, you know, Guerrero shirt, but it's only so many windows you have to do different shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I say as I wear my Amherst Bear t-shirt here.
Yes. Yeah, Dell's got the Amherst Bear shirt on there. And for those that don't know about 26 shirts, you best look into it. I mean, Dell and everyone there, they do a great job with everything. When it comes to not just the shirt concepts, but where the money goes to, who they support with everything. It's a new beneficiary for a new shirt, and it's always not just for a great cause, but hey, at the very same way, it is self-serving because you get yourself a really cool shirt. So, you know, there's something in there for you in the end as well, if you're feeling like the greedy type.
Yeah, we try to hit all the different, you know, different points on that, I guess, you know, greed.
Agreed, you know, if you want
charity,
a shirt. And
everything.
But it's always with the charity and for the good cause. So, Del, what's the latest on the hookup right now?
First of all, thanks for having me on. This is a big step from Buff State, which I think was the last time I joined you in any studio. So this is pretty cool. This is awesome.
You were on Sports Talk Saturday with Geary the one time, though, I do believe.
Not in the studio.
Oh, yeah, not
this
in the studio.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's all, like, pristine and, like, it's nice.
It's pristine, nice. And then you get to look at the faces of Frank and me. And then you're reminded, right,
there's pros
radio.
And cons. There's pros and cons.
Yeah.
What'd you ask me again? What's the shirt we're doing?
Yeah, what's the latest coming down the pipe?
So we're doing the Don't Stop Believing one right now that we just launched on Monday, which is a mix of everybody's favorite football team and almost everybody's favorite song, at least if you have a soul. And I say that, and it's okay song. But no, so that's what we're doing right now, what we have coming down the pike. Actually, it's funny you should ask. I was trying to tease stuff out, like, oh, this is what we have coming. We literally have nothing scheduled after the shirt in terms of designs. We're kind of waiting to see what plays out. You know, in the news for the different sport team and stuff in Buffalo. So we'll see what happens, but maybe a Guerrero shirt. I don't know if it's a two-weeker, though. That might be a special edition. But, yeah, so that's what's going on.
Yeah, let's – Lehigh, put a meatball over the plate, okay?
That was kind of disappointing. I'm not, like, Mr. Baseball, but I understand the significance of, like, you know, what happened last night or what could have happened last night. And then for them to mail it in like that, it's like, dude, you're the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. Like, show these people here in the stands, like, some – something.
You're at the top of the standings anyway, guys.
Yeah, they're
standings. That was. I mean, I don't know.
Give me the meatball over the plate, the terrible pitch, so that he can crush it. Okay,
or at least just have him hit the ball.
Yes,
like, he could have ripped a double, and everyone would go crazy.
He did go from first to third on one of his walks too. Like
he did.
Like The dude's awesome. He's the top prospect in minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Give us the meatball.
This whole pod is going to be all about Guerrero.
Yeah, I'm just salty right now. Everything we talk about
is going to circle back to Guerrero. Yeah, like Jr.
I'm just forever salty right now.
Forever salty.
But yes, I will say though, one of the biggest shirts and one of the most popular things, of course, was when the Bills had broken the drought, you have the Buffalo hugging the Cincinnati Bengal there, and I mean, you were featured everywhere with like you ended up on ESPN with the feature and like everything blew up on it as it well should have because well. Bills broke the playoff drought.
That was a crazy week, dude.
Yeah, what was that for you, man?
That was wild. You're getting like text messages from like Michelle Steele, like, "Hey, I got your number from so and so, and I was hoping." And then people are sending you screenshots of their ESPN app, and like you're on the front of it. That was really weird, but it was cool. It gave us gave us a cool opportunity to kind of talk about who we are, what we do, and everything. A little bit of a spotlight, and hopefully some people discovered 26 shirts in the process, and maybe they realized that the whole mafia thing is more than just jumping through tables.
Oh yeah, of course.
But yeah, that was a wild week. It went fast, and it's funny too. Like, there's a funny thing I'll just share real quickly. I've had the opportunity now to like meet a bunch of different players, and they kind of like the shine is off that apple for me. It's like, oh hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. Yeah, you play this. Whatever. For some reason, when I did that whole FaceTime with Andy Dalton, I got super nervous. I don't know why. Maybe it's because this was a whole new platform. I've never done a FaceTime or something before, so. All of a sudden, my laptop screen lights up, and there's Michelle Steele, and there's like the whole spinning around, and then there's Andy and his wife. It was just a weird, surreal kind of thing, but it was pretty cool.
Maybe it was because it was the guy who sailed the touchdown pass up over C.J. Mosley to help the Bills make the playoffs.
How many times have you watched that highlight with the Titanic theme play?
You can't watch it without it.
I think I'm in triple digits. I'm not lying.
The funny thing is like, these hallways that you're looking at right there, those are where it was me, Nate, and Joe, the three of us, just streaking, literally, but like just racing down these hallways the minute that pass was caught for the touchdown.
There was that going on, and then
Bulldogs hosting Bulldog, the postgame, and he says, do you hear the screaming in the background? That was me.
That was you. That was me
because
also
the first
Nate.
Place I had run by was the GR studio.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And I'm running by Bulldog.
That's fantastic. The best part is while Bulldog is talking, you can hear Derek going nuts. You can hear Nate and Joe screaming as well.
And our program director, Alan Davis, he was with us there too. And like, we're all just running around after this.
And that's what Bulldog was like, did you hear that? I think Cincinnati just scored a touchdown.
That was a Bengals touchdown. And it just, I have the clip is saved and everything.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It was still the coolest thing. And then you guys got to get the step up on that, talking with Andy Dalton and, getting everything with the national promotion on this and kind of reminding the country that Bills Mafia isn't just all about breaking some folding tables.
Yeah, and there's the whole donation thing with Andy Dalton's
and his
foundation.
Charity.
Yeah. I got a lot of credit for that. I didn't deserve any of it. Like, that was all a dude, Kevin Forrest, who's, I think, in Nebraska. He's a Bills fan. But once I saw what they were doing, obviously I was able to, share it through the Mafia Twitter and everything. But
you got the platform, you use it.
Yeah, that guy did. Mm-hmm. Good on him. What an awesome idea. And then, like, 3 days later, then we started giving to the football program that Tyler Boyd was a part of and everything, that he said, hey, since y'all are spending some money, you want to do it in this direction too? And then that got tens of thousands of dollars. That was amazing. Yeah. I think it really speaks to just how awesome, Buffalo folks are. You know what I mean? I don't want to say Buffalonians because the whole idea came from somebody in Nebraska, but like people who are tied to this city in some way, that whole spirit of giving and the city of good neighbors thing, like that's like a real thing. Like somebody didn't just make that up. And say, oh, that'd be a catchy thing we could talk about with the city. Like, it really speaks to, Buffalo fans, just their heart, and just that they wanted to express some kind of way their gratitude towards a fourth down touchdown pass.
And I mean, hey, like, it's not even just that. It could be literally anything. You can get a Buffalonian to or a Buffalo native to donate to the cause, because I mean, the latest that we saw was the 11-day power play too.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. I was part of that process. Frank was technically part of that process.
I helped get you guys ready.
Yeah, 1.2 million again. So, you know, you give these people a good cause and they're always willing to go. It's just the latest in all this sort of stuff. Andy Dalton and the Bengals are coming here in the preseason. Do you think there's going to be any sort of special initiative there to give them a warm welcome?
Am I allowed to speak to that?
I don't know. Yeah, like, I want to see, I'm wondering if you've got any plans on that.
Yeah, there's stuff that's happening that I've kind of been brought into from the Cincinnati end of things. So
keep your
eyes peeled. There's stuff happening, and there should be, man. Obviously, like, thanking a guy for basically doing his job and throwing a touchdown pass on fourth down, like, you know, like, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's silly, you know what I mean, because it's really cool the way it all shook out. But you know, obviously there's a good deal of gratitude on his end as well too, because hey, I'm just out here doing my job trying to help my team win a game. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's such a feel good thing. I think it's good to revisit it, you know, one last time before the season starts off and we have to, you know, hate all the other teams again.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, everyone forgets that they beat us in the same season. Like, if we win that game, that's not a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I went to tweet that at one point and I was like, nah, screw it. I just deleted it. I was like, it's not even worth putting out there. Yeah, but you're absolutely right.
They handed us one of the L's for the season, so it made our job harder. And then next thing you know, they do their job against Baltimore and we love them again. Yeah. So
timing is everything.
Timing is everything there.
Yeah.
All right. So
sports is fun that way.
There's two different things though, that I'm seeing here on the 26 shirt site that I got to ask you about. One, Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. So as anybody who follows me on Twitter knows, I'm a bit of a nerd, you know. Nice Star Wars shirt you got there, you know.
Yep.
So I'm a big Star Wars fan. I'm a big, you know, Marvel fan, comic books and everything. That's who I was growing up, and to this day. So now fast forward, you know, 40 years, and now I own a T-shirt company, and I'm always doing these different parodies of things that are going on in the world of sports. And you know, if you own a business, like, you kind of feel like you have to wear your own stuff, right? Yeah. You know, I don't want to. I always joke how I don't want to be walking down the street and somebody says, "Hey, great shirt. Where'd you get that?" I'm like, Walmart or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's better you say, oh, go to the website, you know, 26shirts.com or whatever. But I was kind of tired of always wearing sports stuff as much as I love, you know, my teams. So it seemed like a natural progression to go into the whole geek pop culture thing. And so that's what we've been doing with Fantastic. You know, we've hit a lot of different parodies up to this point in terms of sci-fi and, you know, sitcom television and drama television. And we even did one that was based on the Predators logo, and it was a catfish, and we kind of like just pointed all of our Facebook ads at Nashville, and that one did pretty well for Ronald McDonald's
awesome.
House in Nashville. So we have a lot of fun. It's just another way for us to express our creativity and, you know, help other people, you know, or reach different audiences and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I mean, like, so like one of my favorites from 26 shirts is the Saber Star Wars one, the mix there. I think was it Eichel?
Yeah, like, yeah, A New Hope, or The New Hope, we called it. Yeah, yeah, it was like it was a, you know, a white buffalo with curlyish hair, and, you know, he actually modeled that for us. That was cool.
Yeah, so, and then finally, Charge.
Yeah, so, okay, in that same line as I was just saying a moment ago, in terms of not always wanting to wear sports stuff, well, sometimes I don't always want to wear, you know, geeky stuff as well, too. So we had this idea months ago, like, or I should say even in late last year, where we wanted to do something that was really, you know, City Pride, you know, a whole new initiative, because we've noticed our special editions that we sell, they're often like not sports related at all. It's just about how awesome Buffalo is or something. And they often do, in the shorter period of time, they do just as well in terms of reception that as the sports do over the whole time period. And so there's obviously a need, or maybe a need is the wrong word, but, you know, there's obviously a market out there for people that love their city and want to wear it on their chest. So we came up with this idea of Charge, which is basically all just yay Buffalo kind of theme, but we've tried to take a little bit of an edge with it. So the designs are they're simple for the most part, but they're kind of stylish and everything. And that's kind of like the pet project of Josh, who is the creative director at 26 Shirts. He probably designs about half of our shirts as it is. So now this is kind of like his pet project to go and, take it where he wants creatively. So we've created that logo, which was actually an earlier 26 Shirts design earlier this year. And we've put it out there on shirts and mugs. And we want it to really be about how awesome, Buffalo is, because it is awesome. When I was growing up, it was you're kind of raised to be like I don't want to say ashamed, but like not necessarily proud that you're from Buffalo. But and now it's so different than it was when I was growing up. Of course, I'm 100 years old, but it's a lot different now. So we wanted to give people that ability to express that, and sales from that benefit the Buffalo City Mission, which is the little blog post I put together. It says charges about the new beginning that's happening in Buffalo, and the city mission is about giving people new beginnings who are down on their luck. So it just seemed like a perfect fit.
There you go.
That's a lot of words. I'm sorry.
No, dude. Hey.
If I can get as much attention out for you out there, say as many words as you need to. That's really all it is. Yeah, and that's what it's about. So, and the question always has to be asked. I mean, the last time that we had talked mm-hmm. about, 26 shirts and everything like that, Frank and I were still at Buff State.
Yeah,
a lot's changed since then, and a lot of shirt designs have come out since then.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask the updated question: What are some of the favorites from now? Are there still some that have held the test of time, or are there some of the new designs, like say for example the Amherst Bear there, that have possibly taken over for you?
That's a good question, and my answer changes every week because I always say it's the one we're selling right now. But I really do love the one we're doing right now. It's super simple. Anybody who reads it, they know what you're talking about, or they know what the shirt is saying. But in terms of favorite, it's tough now because we've done now if I work into it with Fantastic and everything, mm-hmm. I have a lot of designs that we did there that I absolutely love that did not sell well. But aside from not being able to help as much as we want to, I don't care because now I have a shirt that has that picture on it and I think it's hilarious. But we did one where it was a parody of Luke Skywalker and Rocket Raccoon, and Rocket's pointing at Luke, says, "I'm going to need that guy's hand." And I thought it was
I love it. I
love that one. So that may be up there for me in terms of that vein. In terms of sports stuff, I mean, Orchard Park is a classic. We bring that back all the time. The Jurassic Park parody. Mm-hmm. We've got some things in the pike. I'll say it now because, who knows? If it doesn't happen, dear listener, forgive me, but we're thinking of actually putting a Hall of Fame together where it's our most popular designs that people can get anytime.
Ooh.
Because we do, we get requests constantly for Orchard Park and for a few other designs, and we're like, maybe we just had a Hall of Fame. And I got to give credit to Ryan Talbot on from Syracuse.com. He hit me up and was like, why don't you have a Hall of Fame? I'm like, oh, that's a great name. Maybe we should probably call it that. Was I allowed to say Syracuse.com?
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. As a matter of fact, we're going to try to get Ryan on in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
or so.
Ryan is awesome. But anyways, he had the idea. He says, why don't you have a Hall of Fame? And I always try to come up with clever things to name, clever names for things. So credit to him, if and when we actually do it. But so something like that where people can get, certain designs. It won't be a large amount, at least I don't think so. But something that people can order all the time because they're just finding out about us, or we're coming up on 5 years now. That's a lot of shirts, like you said. But I don't know if I answered the question or not.
No, yeah. And the only other follow up that I would have to it is, with all the people that you end up helping out, is there like one or two stories or beneficiaries that really hold out the most for you in terms of memories, or what sticks out to you the most there?
Yeah, that's a tough answer to say because, obviously every cause is super important. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that patronizingly, what I mean? It really is everything we raise money for, I'm really, I believe in it.
Yeah.
But there's been a couple opportunities. One of our best-selling shirts ever was the Buffalosaurus Rex when the Bills hired Rex Ryan, we put that out there. Yeah, I know everybody's making sad faces or laughing faces, but it was a big deal. Remember how excited
it
we
was
were?
A big deal at the time.
It still is a big deal that they hired him. So we put that out there. We raised $17,000 for a little girl fighting leukemia, who's now in as I understand it, great shape. But being able to do that, and then the Orchard Park design when we first. Released that one, I think we raised over $10,000 or $12,000. That's not official. I'm not you know, but and you know, we were able to help a little girl named Livy who was also fighting, I believe it was leukemia. That stuff matters, you know what I mean? Like that yeah. is, you know,
it does.
And yeah. this whole 26 years thing is such a weird paradox because on one hand, we have like these really sad situations that you know. I mean, we actually raised. We did a shirt that we helped a family. Like the little boy died like the day before the shirt launched. You know, and it's like, oh my gosh. You know, like, but we still were able to do some good for the family because there's all kinds of costs that they still have to take care of. But so on one hand, we have these all this heartbreak. You know, every my inbox, and not to exaggerate, but like every day, I'm like my heart is being broken over somebody's situation that they're reaching out about, and it's sad because sometimes like we're not able to help them quickly, you know, as quickly as we'd like because you only have like 2 week windows. That's 26. You can help a year. We're able to do some special editions here and there, but really that's what it is. So on one hand, you have that, and then on the other hand, you know, speaking to the paradox, we have this huge rush, all this excitement when the creative juices start flowing. We start coming up with these different ideas for shirts, and it's such a rush. Like a good example is when they traded for Pominville last summer. I think the news came down around it was either 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock that afternoon. Within an hour, we had a shirt up that we were selling, just because everything aligned perfectly. We had the time to do it. We had an idea that like took off right away. We just kind of put it out there. Normally, we try to talk to the players first, but this one we're like, we just got to do it, you know.
Yep.
And I guess we were okay because when they did the Winter Classic special, what was that called? The 24 hours or whatever it is, like leading up to the Winter Classic, they did the reality show. I forgot
the name. Oh, the Road to the Winter
Classic. Road to the Winter Classic. Yeah. Very, very aptly titled.
Yeah.
His kid was wearing one of the shirts. So I'm like, oh, good. All right. So they're cool that you know, we just kind of put that out there. So that was wild. But it's a really crazy, you know, paradox that on one hand you have this heartbreak, and on the other hand you have that all that excitement as we create a design and we learn that people love it and we see people embrace it. That feels so good. So I totally went off track, but
no, that was actually
it's exactly a podcast. Yeah. I can do that, right?
Yeah. You clearly haven't listened to our podcast. Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast.
So Guerrero,
salt. I'm happy that, you know. Like, one of the biggest ones for me will always be one that I own, and that's the our teams are fine. You know, when everything yeah. was at its lowest point for both franchises, everyone just got fired. And I'm just like, okay, I absolutely need this thing. And you had reluctantly brought it back. You're like, fine, you animals.
I think I did say that. Okay, you animals.
You said that in the tweet. And I'm just like, I'm like, if there's not a better time than I think right now, where Dell is just begrudgingly bringing this back because everyone got fired.
It's funny. I had such reservations. Like Dave Servi, who's a local freelance artist, put that together. I think he made a joke and I was about doing something like that. Like, no, you absolutely have to draw that. You have to make that shirt. That would be amazing. And but I had such reservations about actually doing it because almost all of our shirts are, you know, they're positive. And yes. It's like, yay, team. But this one, it's just like, well, I think fans need this shirt right now. and so I remember we had it all finalized, and I was trying to decide when I was going to release it. And something happened where the Sabres had lost some game, which they absolutely, like, it was like the final straw kind of game.
I think it was that weekend of Arizona-Colorado.
Yeah, it was after their bye week.
It was after their bye week. They were going in strong. They were in a playoff spot, and then the next thing you know, they were like 4 points out. Next thing you know, they drop against 30-29 in the NHL, and we're just like,
yeah, whatever it was. I remember it was the perfect moment. I was like,
yeah.
As you know, as the game was ending, I'm like, all right, the time has found me.
Send it.
So I've opened up the laptop. It was at night, too, because the Sabres game. We're sitting on the couch. My wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, just give me a minute. I'm about to sell a lot of shirts. I think that's how I said it, too, like reluctantly. But I was like, just give me a second. Something's about to happen. And then, I mean, we put it out there, and, like, the website crashed. Like, we're now on Amazon Web Services, so the website should, in theory, never crash now. But we were on our older host, which is always fine. But we put that shirt out there, and, like, we were in, like, you know, for us, what was a large volume that, I had never seen before. And I remember tweeting, like, please don't crash my website, everybody, you know. and then it became like this, like, almost this meme on Twitter where something bad would happen, and then I'd get a tweet, say, Dell, release the shirt. And we ended up doing, like, a cap and everything, and Lorenzo Alexander actually bought one. So he's Lorenzo Alexander is, you may find him on a certain day if you're out in the world wearing our teams are fine. Baseball cap. So that kind of, it's just like with the Pominville thing, like, oh, I guess it's okay. Like, yeah, he gets, like, the joke, or he doesn't get the joke, but I think he gets the joke. But he even tweeted, like, I got mine, everybody. That was crazy. But
yeah, that one, I will always remember the, fine, okay, you monsters. Just, I'm like, all right, there's no better time than now for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that now.
3, 2, 1, full sound.
I didn't get it when it was first out there. This is probably the best chance I'm going to get.
Hopefully we don't have to bring
yeah,
it back.
Oh yeah. I'm glad that shirt is no longer at this moment relevant.
But we still have mugs. We have a lot of mugs left over at the website. So if you have to have it on a mug, you want to drink your coffee and
yeah, we'll get some mugs.
There it is.
I'd do that.
All right. So let's go into the football sort of things, cuz I mean, you're one of the founders of Bills Mafia, but there's a reason for that. I mean, cuz we all like the freaking Bills somehow. I don't know why. Some years we have to ask that question, but dude, there's a full-blown quarterback competition. There's a full-blown wide receiver competition outside of Calvin Benjamin. There's offensive line competition. There's even something at DN for good measure. And it just brings a lot of intrigue to this training camp. Not like training camp doesn't have plenty of intrigue. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those guys that I'm really mad that I haven't been able to go out there yet. But I look into these camp battles and I dig into these things and I'm like, okay, Ryan Groy versus Russell Bodine. I know that's not everybody, but you know,
might be it.
Yeah, I might be it. Hanging out with a couple of people maybe on Twitter being like, yo, I need to see how my interior line is going right now because I want things to be awesome. but, you know, what's your general sense and feel on how things are looking for this season? Because, I mean, this is the first time since the turn of this millennium that we don't have a playoff drought hanging over our heads.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think listening to the radio this morning, I think Sal Capaccio made a great point in terms of the defense. Like, there really are no battles. Like, he said that the defensive end thing is kind of pretty much, it's Trent Murphy's job now over, you know, Shaq Lawson or anybody. He said the only one that was really under consideration, I think, was the nickel.
Yes, with Taron Johnson and Phil Gaines. Yes.
So, but everything else is kind of set. So that, I guess that's good. They're kind of where they want to be in that respect. So I haven't spent, you know, wasted too many brain cells, you know, on the defense at this point. In terms of offense, you know, I mean, it obviously goes right to quarterback, but that whichever quarterback it is out of the three, however that offensive line in front of them performs is going to be a big factor. I mean, like 60% of the offensive line is different than it was week one of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's kind of a big deal. So what made me nervous, and I am no offensive line expert, so, you know, Russell Bodine, if you are listening to this podcast, I apologize. But one thing I noticed, because I absolutely have no idea how you perform on the job, Russell. No, but like one thing that I noticed when the Bills signed him was a lot of Bengals fans saying, oh, great, thank you for taking him, which makes you kind of nervous, like, oh, my gosh. But so I have no idea what to expect there. I thought Ryan Groy did great, I think it was 2 seasons ago.
When Eric Will broke his leg.
Yeah, and the fact that the Rams tried to sign him away and the Bills kept him on that RFA
contract. It's nice when offer sheets are signed.
Yeah, different league, but
salt.
But so yeah, yeah. The offensive line for me is one of the, you know, bigger concerns. As nerdy as that sounds, but I think left tackles, I think Deion Dawkins did a great job. You know, I think we don't necessarily have to worry about that position at this point.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see how the rest of it plays out. You know, no Richie Incognito, no Eric Wood. So, that's my biggest concern, because Shady can only, you know, it helps if he's not making those amazing moves behind the line every play.
Exactly.
As opposed to if he can get out in front of it. And then, like I said before, whatever quarterback is actually taking snaps, you know, it's going to depend on how much, you know, time he has to, you know, let plays develop and all that.
Yeah, I mean, the question is going to be, how much can you limit the bleeding from losing guys that were Pro Bowlers, and then another one who ended up getting traded that was necessary in order for them to go up and get their quarterback that they wanted. So it is going to be a question of, okay, how much can we limit this? And for me, I'm a little hopeful with John Miller. I think that he's going to be able to bounce back because mm-hmm. of the stale cracker offense that was Rick Dennison's last year mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. no longer here. And I think a lot of people are going to be better for it. And I think particularly a player like John Miller is my first case in point.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? If you remember, there was the whole zone blocking versus the
power run scheme.
The power run scheme. And Dennison seemed to change his tune like halfway through the season when he realized that's my biggest beef, man. And that's the same thing with Rex and every other NFL coach ever, I think.
Yep.
It's like, this is my scheme. You have to play to my scheme. And every coach says, oh, yeah, we scheme to our players' talents. They just say that, though, and then they go back to just telling their players to play in their scheme. And
then they try to shove that square peg in the round hole every time.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. So Dennison finally, or somebody on that in that organization, wised up and said, no, these guys were really good for a really long time doing this method. Why don't you have them do that method?
Yeah. Yep. I'm just... I'm not a fan of bad-mouthing things too often, but for me, that offensive scheme was probably my biggest target last year.
Yeah, I think the word is caca.
Yes. There we go.
That was so frustrating. Like it felt at times like, aside from Shady, who I think could probably play under any offensive coordinator, do anything. The guy's amazing. But it felt like almost every player was not playing to their strength, or there was not, the scheme was not suiting their strengths. It seemed like almost at every position. It's like, kudos to him. That takes work, to be able to, to be able to come up with a scheme
sure that everybody isn't fitting in.
Exactly. So good on you, Rick. Good on you. You had your moment to shine. You took it. But so hopefully, and I don't know a whole lot about Dable. I don't follow a lot of college football. I mean, I follow the headlines and everything, but I think my wife would. I'm not ready to fight that battle where I add football to one more day during the fall as opposed to, Thursday, Sunday, Monday. Oh, and Saturday, too.
Let's throw that in there.
So I'm not able to follow college football too well, but, maybe Dable
Tuesday action, though. If you're throwing Saturdays in, you got to get your Tuesday action now.
That's right.
Because right down the road, there's actually some pretty big promise there, too.
Mm-hmm. And there is.
Who's that receiver they have?
Anthony Johnson.
The one who's catching like everything.
Really good. Johnson, Tyree Jackson. That offense looks like it's really going to be promising there. And I think the Bulls had a record amount of players now this offseason nominated for watch lists for college awards.
That's awesome. It's been a long time coming, but that comes with moving to D1. Like it's a long road. You don't just become, Baylor, right out of the gate.
So, exactly.
Quick disclaimer, I'm not saying, dear listener, that that's where they are now, but good for UB. I think it's good that they're starting to build that program out. They're always going to be in this area, in the shadow of the Bills, but I don't know. It's a nice alternative if you want to do something on a Saturday, I guess.
Exactly. So there it is. Well,
that's coming from a Buff State grad. So
I'm going to pull. Pull Frank here. You ready, Frank?
What'd you do?
I found something on Twitter, I'm going to pull this Frank here. Patriots just cut Jordan Matthews.
Ha!
Well, that's unfortunate.
That was quick.
Unfortunate for Matthews. I mean, I was thinking he was going to bounce back after an injury-riddled campaign here with that 1 year in Buffalo, and now they released the injured wide receiver in Jordan Matthews. So, I mean, I'm happy that he's not going to be haunting us. But
he won't have that 150-yard, 3-touchdown game.
Yes.
Which I guarantee you he would have if they resigned. They said, just kidding, come back. He'd have it against
them. It would definitely be something against the Bills. And just like, and it would just make
now,
every fan's head explode. It's just like,
Now Hogan's going to have that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah. I hate to say it. I'm not scared of Chris Hogan, man.
Nah.
I'm just only scared of the guy that throws that football.
Yeah, that's true.
For sure.
It's always true.
Just soon.
He's got to get old eventually, right?
I mean, he is getting old. It's just the problem he's not getting bad yet.
Yeah,
he's getting still old. Good.
I mean, he's got to start acting his age soon, right?
Yeah, that's the problem we're having. He's getting old. It's just not working.
Yeah. It's funny. I haven't hated Tom Brady in a while. I haven't thought of him in a while. Then it comes up now, and you're like, oh, I hate that dude.
It's like
I haven't felt that hate. I haven't felt the hate in many months.
Come on, Dell, let the hate flow through you, okay?
Yeah. Good, good.
So, no, it's this season, it's – correct me if I'm wrong on this kind of feel here, Dell, but it feels like almost a free pass. Whatever happens, I'm kind of just going to shrug my shoulders and go, okay, let's go. Because if the Bills strangely make another playoff push that's not expected, awesome. If the Bills middle around at 6-10, 7-9 this year, I'm cool with it. If the Bills are actually bad and Josh Allen plays the latter half of the season, get the guy his snaps, right? Mm-hmm. So it almost seems like there's no situation, I might regret these words, there's almost no situation where I'm going to go ahead and say, I need copious amounts of pizza and ice cream to make myself feel better immediately now after this game.
August 1st, 2018, 12:42. That's when you said it.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like that whenever I've gone into a season thinking that, like, yeah, you know, it's okay, we're good. Then after the first week, I'm like, I hate this team. What am I doing with my time?
I'm really only the only way I'm thinking about it now is like, if it's a week 17 win and in kind of situation and they shoot their foot or something, it's just like, that's right. The only way that's why I say almost no way that I could be infuriated after the season.
Or if they
play, that would be the only thing.
They play for a tie in overtime when they need a win to stay in the hunt. Yeah, no.
I just cut my eyebrow.
Did you really? You really did.
Did you really?
I don't see any
blood. Man, mics are sharp, I guess. I don't know.
Damn. No, it's just that it's blunt, and I used the effect of hitting my... I wanted to hit my forehead on the mic, and I missed.
That's Rex's fault.
Yep, it's Rex. It's forever Rex's fault. Thank you for wasting two of my years. At least we got a good cause out of it.
We did. We
salt.
Helped a little girl. So thanks, Rex.
Thanks, Rex. Otherwise, salt.
Yeah, no, I understand your point, though, about this season and everything. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can go. And there's a silver lining to pretty much any one of those ways. The way I see it happening is, the last one you mentioned where the record doesn't end up exactly where fans would like it to every season. But there's a lot of promise shown, you know, from the young quarterback. And it gives them something to build on into the next year. Kind of like what happened with Trubisky.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they didn't have a great season record-wise, but if you talk to most Bears fans, they are dialed in and behind this guy, and they've got a lot of, you know, they had a lot to get excited about.
Frank, should we be evil?
What are you doing?
Should we make Dell pick the Bills?
Ooh.
All right, so
that's my favorite segment. I'm super nervous. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, no, like, oh man, I love any time I have to work when Howard has to pick the Bills. It's the greatest thing ever.
Remember when we used to call him Hose?
Yeah, where did that go? Why don't we call him Hose anymore?
I'm not gonna try it. I just make fun of him for not being able to eat a strawberry ever in his life.
peanut butter, strawberries. The two things never happened.
Right. Yeah.
The
man's never had a chocolate covered strawberry. Like, all right, before we start, Frank. You picked the Bills to go
7-9.
And I, for some reason or another, no, I was not under the influence of anything. I picked them to go 9-7 again. So don't know why. Maybe I'm just optimistic. Maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe those two things are the same thing.
I think it was
a
combination of the matchups along with your optimism.
Yeah.
Especially for the defense this year.
I do not respect our division at all.
I had them He's going got by- them... He's got them going 5-1 in the division.
Wow. Wow.
Split. So he's got them beating
Spoiler,
New England.
I have no idea where I'm going to end up. It's not going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm just like, New England derps one division game every year. Why not this one with us?
Fair enough.
And you're also going. You're also saying
I
it's
also
going to be the
Monday
nighter. I also
don't respect New York.
That too.
Maybe I should have less respect for the Bills. No, I'm not going to have less respect for the Bills. Go Bills.
Of course.
All right.
Go
Bills. Of course. Here we go, Dell. Week one at Baltimore.
I am real quick before we jump into this. I am super nervous now. I get like where Howard gets it from or how he like, seriously like. Oh my gosh! Okay, Baltimore. I'm gonna go with a win.
All right, so Dell's got him starting 1-0 here, heading home with the LA.
Don't tell
Chargers.
Me the record till the end. I don't want to know the record till the end.
All right,
that's fine.
LA Chargers.
It's in LA, right?
No, that's here.
Oh, that's here. Yeah, that's
home
right.
Opener.
It's a home opener. Yeah, win.
All right. At Minnesota.
Loss.
At Green Bay.
Loss.
Home to Tennessee.
What? This is where the trouble comes in, because I just picked them to win again. Which week is this?
Week 5.
Win.
Week 6 at Houston.
Loss.
Week 7 at Indy.
Win.
Week 8, the Monday Nighter, New England.
Loss. Bad loss.
Painful loss.
Pain.
Pain. Week 9, home to Chicago.
Win?
All right. Week 10 at the Jets.
Win.
Week 11, bye week. All right. Win. Week 12, home, Jacksonville.
Loss.
Week 13 at Miami.
Win.
Week 14, home, Jets.
Win. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
You're starting to notice something here.
Oh, my gosh.
Week 15, home, Detroit.
Loss.
Week 16 at New England.
Loss.
Week 17, home, Miami.
Win.
Frank, what happened here? I think I heard 4-2 in the division, by the way.
I think so, too.
Who'd I have them lose against? Oh, just the Patriots.
Just the Patriots.
Just the Patriots. Yeah.
All right, Frank, add it up.
All right, let me see here. So you had him beating Baltimore Chargers. That's 2-0 so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, I started
Minnesota Green Bay was a loss, so now we're at 2-2.
Okay.
You had him beating Tennessee, so 3-2.
Yep.
Losing to Houston.
Yep.
So 3-3. Beating Indy.
Beating Indy, mm-hmm. Losing badly to New England, painfully.
Pain. So that's 4. So that's 4-4.
4-4.
Beating Chicago. Beating the Jets.
Yep.
So that's 6-4.
Losing
6-5. Losing to Jacksonville. 7-5. Beating Miami. 8-5. Beating the Jets. You had them losing to Detroit.
Yes.
Losing to New England.
9-7.
9-7. And 4-2 in the division.
My brain says 9-7. My heart does not say 9-7. So let's go with the brain on this one.
All right. I had them going 7-9 because Baltimore. A lot of Derek and I's wins were the same, except I have them beating Detroit. I think that's primed to be another snow game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if that's the case, I think that would be a Bills win.
Dome team.
However. I have them losing once to Miami, and that's the road game.
Mm-hmm. I think they'd lose to the Jets before Miami, but
I have them sweeping the Jets. But I also have them losing to Chicago.
It's tough because this defense that they have. I have second year in the scheme and everything, and they had a lot of talent. Like I got some faith in this defense.
Yeah.
So that's what I was trying to. As we were going through that whole exercise, I was trying to figure out the two there. So, I mean, the Chargers game last year, maybe it goes different if we don't throw 17 interceptions. I don't know.
It's true.
So, yeah, 9-7. Wow. Wow.
I think the Chargers.
I wanted really to be good. Here for the Nathan Peterman revenge game, week 2, where Peterman rains touchdowns on LA.
Can you imagine?
He doesn't throw 5 interceptions, but he throws 5 touchdowns.
Can you imagine that?
Time is a flat circle.
Oh, man. Fantastic. It's fantastic.
Now Rivers is throwing the interceptions.
Yeah.
Just be the greatest thing. Time is a flat circle. Nothing matters anymore in life. Just give me that and I will take myself happily to the grave.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Nathan Peterman is the starter to start the season, which could happen.
It could happen.
If he's the starter to begin this season and he actually beats the Chargers. Can you imagine? And let's say handily in this scenario. Can you imagine what the national thing is going to be?
Maybe the meme would be dead.
Yeah,
a new meme
would be created.
This has been the year of dead memes.
I know that is true.
Sports memes haven't done well. It might actually happen.
Yeah. Who knows? Mm. I mean, Frank, you got
a good point there. The sports memes have had a bad year. I mean, and then you see the Bills crushing
make the
a playoff
playoffs.
Drought.
Mm-hmm. The Capitals win the cup.
Yeah, there's some
forget everything you ever knew. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. This is so. Then now
they
it could
Pittsburgh.
Be now it could be Nathan Peterman chucks 5 touchdowns against LA. And
yeah,
things revert to distortion world.
Yeah.
Because you know what though, like, okay, I'm gonna be, I might get branded as a Peterman apologist here, but that first pass that was off DeMarco's hands, mm-hmm. that was an interception, that or that first interception, like, I feel like that wasn't really his fault, right?
Yeah.
Can we agree with that?
Like, I hate the play itself.
Sure, but the You're
throwing to Pat DeMarco.
Yeah, there was too much of fullback or. You really, dude, you're not a running back. You're a fullback kind of stuff going on in the offense last year. But I feel like, you know, as a rookie or whatever, like that kind of thing can shake you. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever been so shook that they threw 5.5 picks. But that first interception, just that really wasn't his fault. And the other four I've repressed. So I don't remember anything about them that I can speak to. But
a couple of them, he got decked as he's chucking it, and it was kind of like that Jameis Winston style of put it up in the air and see what the hell happens.
Yeah.
And the other two were something that I got PTSD flashbacks from in the first throw from training camp when Peterman throws the out route and
right to Trey White.
Trey White almost pick six is the thing, and I'm thinking, oh God, Chargers game.
Yeah.
Because that's how two of the
he dropped it too, didn't Trey White drop it? So that was like there was sadness on both ends.
It was first day.
First day for Peterman.
Yeah.
It was first throw. Trey White's first attempt at a pick six for the year. So, you know, better that it's done in practice than drops it.
Sure.
You know? But I've said it multiple times. Fair or unfair, that is the national perception on Nathan Peterman. Mm-hmm. Whether it is all his fault or not, that is what everyone sees.
It doesn't help that Joey Bosa was running at him.
That is true.
It really doesn't help.
But if we're to have this dream of the Nathan Peterman revenge game, Joey Bosa's going to be running at him again.
Yeah, it's true.
I love it. Nathan Peterman revenge game. Let's go. Let's do it. Make a shirt now. Let's go.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. Del, thanks for hanging out with us today, man.
This is fun, always dude. I appreciate it. It's been too long. It's been too long.
Of course. And thank you, as always, for listening to the Leftovers podcast here on WGR550.com in the on-demand audio, which is overcrowded these days with tons of Bills sound coming from St. John Fisher College and, of course, everything with all the shows, and not to mention a new little podcast that we have going on with myself, Brayton Wilson, and Joe DiBiase, the training camp update podcast on WGR. That's going to be coming out later today too, so there's your plug. Why would I say that on a podcast? I don't know. Welcome to the Leftovers podcast, where idiocy reigns.
Thanks for having me. Perfect fit. 9-7, go Bills.
There it is. 9-7, go Bills. That's Del Reed, 26 shirts, the founder, the OG of the Bills Mafia, the real style of the Bills Mafia, the one that gives and is a Bills fan, of course. Frank, I want damn at-bat for Vlad Guerrero Jr. Yes, I'm ending it on this.
It all circles back.
Time is a flat circle. Thanks as always for listening. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank Curry.
And, you know, as they always say, throw that meatball over the plate.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.